But we'll just go as far as we can. Now, it's really hard to make a call on that right now. I think we're in February, so I think the main goal for the side is just to get up and running and prepare ourselves as best we can for round one. I think it's a little bit risky to look too far ahead.
Well, that's Kane Corns, just keeping it real, of course. And the reason we're playing that is because Martin Bacall has been good enough to take us. We'll take him a little bit later on because Ken Hinckley has arrived early, has to leave early. So why not take advantage of the great man here now?
Get him. He can just regather his thoughts.
Give every. We want to go to ask
if he really wants to be here.
He's come in and said, "I can't believe you blokes don't know about why birds don't crossbreed." But we'll talk about that at another time. Good morning to you, Ken Hinckley, and lovely to see you.
Thanks for having me.
We just heard the grab from Kane Corns, who's keeping it very focused and not getting too far ahead of himself. Is he a freak? I mean, did he come out this? Did I read somewhere that he won your 3K time trial or set a new PB for his own 3K time trial or something or other?
Yeah, that's correct. After I think about year 14 or 15 for Kane, he came out and run his best ever 3K time trial. That's why he's played as much footy as he has, why he's been as successful as he has. He always just prepares himself as good as he possibly can. And, you know, he won't go out of his football career without making sure he squeezed every last ounce out of himself.
Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that what we mentioned Leighton Hewitt earlier, and he's a great Adelaide boy, of course. That's what you want, isn't it? At the end of the day, if they can all say that, if they can all say, there's nothing else I could have done to get another game out of this body, then you'd be pretty content as a coach, I reckon.
Yeah, you are, and I'm sure the player himself too, because you get to retire knowing you give everything you had, and you know you got to the end of the line in the best shape you could. You see, you didn't. You know, we see a lot of people try to finish, but unfortunately their body fails them, and for Kane's reasons, his body's actually staying really good for him, so it's good. Yeah.
Hey, Ken, we've just been having a conversation about the merits of GWS on the back of that. There's some pretty significant financial issues that they, I guess, need to address. In the bigger picture side of things, we were debating, and Andy's probably not as keen on GWS as I have of the original decision.
No, I understand the theories behind GWS. I'm just not sure they're ever going to be matched by reality, that's all.
What's your view as far as trying to grow the game and the GWS, not experiment, but how they've invested?
I think you've just got to be prepared to go there, and you've got to be prepared to grow the game. And I think it's a no-brainer, really. I mean, some of the teams in the competition now, where they are and where they started, is significantly different to their startup. It takes time. They're a new franchise. I was up on the Gold Coast. They're areas that are not AFL covered. You know, they really are really quiet in that space of AFL. It's all rugby, so you've just got to take a bit of time, or soccer or something that's going on. I think they'll be fine. In 20 years' time, I think you'll be sitting back going, they're okay.
And there's another report in the paper talking about participation in sport, and the numbers for AFL, surprisingly, aren't as high as what I think a lot of people would think. Do you reckon that, particularly the fans here in Victoria, do you reckon they're aware of the challenges that the sports face throughout the country?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think totally aware of it. I mean, being from Victoria myself, you just live and die AFL, and that's the only thing that's going on. But outside of that, when you go out to those other states, and having had 3 years up on the Gold Coast, you just know that there's some real challenges out there, and the AFL have got to stay right ahead of the game.
Speaking of clubs being able to kind of turn things around and grow and, you know, become what the league wants it to be, a club like the Giants, Port Adelaide, the Port Adelaide now compared to the Port Adelaide that you walked into, in a very short period of time, how different are those two versions of the same organisation?
Yeah, they're quite different. I mean, I think there's no doubt about that. When I certainly walked in the door and people, we, you know, Keith was only just new, Koshy was only just new, and the playing group were quite young still. So, and there was a fair bit of doom and gloom around Port.
Absolutely.
And, you know, to the credit of our leaders of our club, they've certainly directed us in the right way, and we've been able to turn that around quickly. I think that gives hope to a lot of clubs in the competition. I mean, you think, gee, in 2 years you can go from being, you know, and look, I spoke, you know, to a lot of people, and you go, 13, we weren't going to be any good at all. 14, we were going to fall back a little and slip up because we were probably jumped ahead of the queue a little, you know. And then this year, you know, by expectation, the tippers are saying we're going to finish top four, you know. Yep. So that's how quickly it can change. We're going to be bottom four top four in 2 years, and that's what happens.
And what's been the blueprint in your circumstances? I'm sure it's not the same for each and every club, but what was the primary reason for that very, very quick turnaround?
I think both David and Keith would go on record to say is that they've invested heavily in the football program. they knew they had to invest to get a return first and foremost. I mean, we still haven't got that return financially off the field, but we know that's coming. You know, it's certainly turning around in that area as well. So I think the investment in the football program is one that the club identified. Look, that's our core. That's what we've got to do our best, and we've got to make sure our football program's, you know, at least trying to be in the top half of the competition. And by doing that, you get a chance. Once your football on field improves, obviously everything else just comes along for the ride.
I know this isn't necessarily in your wheelhouse, but you're going to get a decent deal out of Footy Park at Adelaide Oval sooner or later. Is that likely to change?
Yeah, I think it's pretty close, to be honest, Andy. Yeah. And the club are really excited by what's hopefully going to happen. And I mean, both clubs in the town are going to be benefiting from the new deal. I think the important thing is Adelaide Oval's great for the whole of Adelaide, not just for the AFL clubs. It's, you know, we've seen the cricket there only a couple of weeks ago. It's just a fantastic stadium, and that hopefully there's enough in there for everyone to get a good slice of the pie and then come out and, you know, just grow all games in Adelaide.
Ken, thanks for obviously sticking around. Kane Corns grab we played before, sort of entrenched in all of that was we've got to not get too far ahead of ourselves. We've got to look at what we're doing today and not necessarily worry too much about tomorrow. After what you're able to do last year in particular, the last 2 years, is it hard for you to stop them looking too far down the track?
No, I don't think so. I think we just remind them. I mean, I remind them every day that if you don't work hard, you'll get nowhere, and it disappears. I mean, I've been around forever, and you know that if you just take your eye off the ball, the game eats you up, and there's a side ready to take your spot, and that's what you've got to be prepared to work. You know, our start to the season is one that we can sit back and go, well, that gives us a reason to get our heads down and work really hard. We go Frio in Perth, we go Sydney at home, we go North Melbourne in Melbourne, and we go Hawthorn at home.
That is a tough start.
So if you think you're going okay, you want to just sit back and wait a bit.
Hey, well, how is the old mate from the recruit, Johan Wagner, how's he travelling?
Yeah, he's just settling into AFL football, to be honest. And, you know, as much as the show's been really exciting for everyone to watch, it's a real challenge for Yoey to come into an AFL program full bore. And, you know, he's gone, wow, this is a bit more fair income than it looks from the outside. So he's really battled with his body at times. But he's just in the last 3 or 4 weeks just starting to get hold of the intensity that we train at, you know, and every session that you have to back up for. So I think it'll be exciting for us as we go through this. It's really something for everyone to have a look at and see how he goes.
It is a good experiment because it was so profile that everyone's got a bit of interest in just him personally, how he's going to go. Do you believe that he can get there? Do you think he'll be a legitimate AFL player at some stage?
Oh, look, he's got the opportunity, so he's got to make the most of that opportunity. But I think, you know, what happens in our game is that Yoey's got a real challenge. I mean, at 23, he's got, you know, 18 teams who have ignored him for a long period of time, and he's got his opportunity in a different way. He's now just got to make the most of it. Who knows, you know, how far they can go. What he's been able to show on the training track is that he's got some real talent, and hopefully, you know, he'll start off in our Sandville side and hopefully build his season through there. And with a little bit of luck, you just don't know.
Is there one on that you're working with now who, when you got there, you thought, I'm not sure, I don't know, but has progress further than you thought he could have? Is there one player who surprised you in the couple of years you've been at Port Adelaide?
No, it's probably unfair to say one. Yeah. I mean, there's been a few of them that have just continued to improve, and I think that's the key thing. You just don't know how far they can go. You know, I've gone there at the start with Ollie right from the very start, and you see what he's been able to do as a young kid, basically. He played 49 out of 49 games.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, he's done some great things for us. But, you know, people like Broadbent, you know, Pittard, blokes that we don't talk too much about, they've just continually improved, and that's what makes us, you know, improve as a football club. It can't be one player. It's got to be the whole group.
With a guy like Jesper Pittard, who can make a blue, he can make a blue, that's the challenge for you. I mean, you've got many, many challenges to your job, but maintaining confidence and faith in a bloke who can just every now and again make a bit of a mistake, how do you coach that guy? What rules do you apply to someone like him?
Oh, similar to the rest of the team, but I like to, you know, I probably have the ability to see the good more than the bad, you know, and I think that's important with a player like a Jasper type player who's a bit of a playmaker for you. So there's some risks involved with his game, with what he has to do, you know, and we try to keep him inside those parameters that he doesn't go too far out. But, you know, he's that type of player who's going to create some opportunities for it. And on the flip side, he's going to give away a couple, but we live with that okay. I think if, you know, he's doing his job as best he can defensively for us, the other stuff's the add-on for us.
And Phil Walsh, one of your counterparts there, his first person, I think, come out and actually said, or one from the coach's standpoint, actually keen on looking at a reduction in the rotations.
And if you were here at 9 o'clock, you're not going to be here at 9 o'clock, but if you were in the crossover, KB will be doing cartwheels. He will come down here at 9 o'clock. He will actually be doing cartwheels into the studio this morning that Phil Walsh has said.
But what's your take on that?
I think the game's pretty good. I think the game's pretty healthy. Everyone likes watching it. Again, as a coach, I don't sit back and go, well, carry on about what interchange, who's going off and on the ground. I'm watching a lot more than just who's going off and on the ground. I think, as I said, important for me is everyone loves watching our game. Our game's in pretty good shape. I don't think we need to change too much. Phil's always been strong on that idea. He said it last year when he was with us. It was not like he's gone, I'm a senior coach now, I'm going to have this great idea. But he basically thinks the game should be played a bit more that way in try to pull some of the traffic away from the contest, which I still don't know if 80 will do that.
So, yeah, that's the point, is would it have the effect that KB and others are talking about to open up the game?
Yeah, I haven't got the answer because I think I'll be demanding the players get to those spots still. So
how different would it be? So let's say it was 40. Let's say it was 10 interchange a quarter. How difficult would that make your job?
Yeah, it'd certainly make it a little bit more difficult. It makes the players' job more difficult, not mine. And, you know, they've got to work pretty hard to get to the spots they do. Now, there's not a lot of time. You know, if you look at the umpires throw the ball in 7 seconds. So the congestion only comes because they're pretty good athletes. They can actually work pretty hard to get there.
Yeah, but you would demand less of them in that. I mean, that's a terrible thing to say because you want them to get to their max, but you would surely have to change the way you set up because you know that the physical capabilities on these guys would be overstretched if you were expecting them to do what they're doing now with less opportunity to get to the bench.
I assume that you might be right, but I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm not prepared to say that we would. I'd be still wanting them to get to where they got to get to now because that's the way I'm used to the game being played.
So how do you? That was the thing about you guys, that fit. You had that fit. You convinced your blokes that they had a fitness edge, and we saw it right from the opening game of the year. That you were just going to outrun sides. Everyone else is getting fitter and stronger. And how do you convince your blokes that you're still a step? Or is that, do you go down a different tactic now, a different road? Is that still something that you push internally?
Yeah, absolutely. No, we're going to stick with our plan that we're going to run sides, and we've got to run sides because that's our strength really at the moment. Hawthorn's strength is their ability to use the ball so quickly, and you know, by hand or by foot, they just take the game on. And you know, we've got to challenge sides in a different way. For us, we know that one of our strengths at the moment is our conditioning, and you know, we've got to make the most of that. We've stepped up again our conditioning training this preseason. We said it was going to be 1, 2, and 3 years before we get to the max level that we wanted to go to. We certainly haven't let the boys down. We've gone after that, and you know, and to their credit, they've joined in too. They also believe, the players in our team know and believe that that's one of our strengths, right. And they have to train that. You don't just go out there and say, oh, I'm a good runner without training it. So we actually go after training it pretty hard.
And what about Paddy Ryder? You've got a lot of toys to play with out there. He brings a whole new dimension, his versatility, what he brings to the table. Is he an individual that can have a significant impact on the way you play and the style that you're going to coach?
Certainly helps us. I mean, helps Matty Lobey, I know that. I mean, Lobes has done 2 years basically on his own as a ruck. We had Brent Renew for a while, who was injured a bit, and Big Redo, who's been injured a bit, and we're then chopped out with Westy and Jacko. But, you know, for Lobes, it's a significant help for him. For us, it's what we've sort of looked for a little bit in our forward half, that we've got an extra tool that we can go to when we need to. Doesn't mean we'll always be that way, but, you know, Paddy's got some ability to play in, you know, a number of areas too. That's the key. I mean, I've seen Paddy Ryder at times play centre half back. I've seen him play full forward. I've seen him play in the ruck. You know, he's got some capabilities that says he can play all over the ground.
What's your intelligence telling you about his long-term availability and Angus Montfries's?
Tuning into your radio every morning to try and find out.
What are you here? I mean, you're obviously vested in interests, like significant vested in, more so than we have. I mean, you've got two of your prime movers who are in the middle of this. Is it something that you seek intelligence about, or are you just kind of waiting to find out what happens like the rest of us?
There's just no answer. That's the hard part. We've just got to sit back and wait and let it run its course. Unfortunately, it's been a long course now. We'd like it to be over and we'd like it to be finalised, but you know, I'm not sure that's the case. And you know, if it's mid-March to the end of March, we'll do what everyone else has done and sit back and wait. And from our point of view, purely from a selfish point, I'll keep my fingers crossed the players find their way and they're free and they get to play football. That's all I'm worried about is Angus and Paddy, you know, and I haven't got the other players to worry about for my job. I've got to worry about those two, and I just want them available as early as possible for us to use.
Absolutely. Free agency is having its impact on the sport, and now we see the Players Association, they're pushing to try and bring it back from 8 to 6 before the eligibility kicks in. Jonathan Brown, he spoke out yesterday. He's an advocate for it. From your standpoint, is that the right thing? It seems to make a lot of sense to me.
I just find it, I still haven't seen it work probably the way it's meant to work. You know, I'm not sure that, you know, the what you've seen move a little bit is that the players have gone to the top clubs a little bit to probably finish their careers or get some finals opportunities, I suppose. You know, I don't think there's been too many going the other way. And I think free agencies, I think in principle it's a good idea. It's just a matter of how it works. And I don't think at the moment we've quite got it right. And, you know, I don't think many coaches are in favour of it because you get your, you know, players at six to eight, or 6 years if they get there, or 8 years, they're actually coming into their prime. You've done a lot of work to get them to that point. You're hopefully rewarding them well enough, but then you can go and get blown out of the water by a club that's, you know, just got their books in a bit better shape from a financial point of view, which hopefully that's not the case. Your players, usually, I think most players still want to stay at their clubs if they get a choice.
Unless you can make yourself, you know, we're calling them these destination clubs now, like Hawthorn and Sydney appear to have been. I mean, it's not too far of a stretch to suggest that Port Adelaide could become a destination club. You get to play at an awesome venue, close to town. Your financials are getting better. There's going to be competitive football team that you're going to be playing in for the foreseeable future, a fantastic coach to play under who is going to flog you during the pre-season like you've never been flogged before. But it's not too big a stretch to see that Port Adelaide could almost become one of those clubs.
Oh, we'd like to think. I mean, Koshy's on record as saying he wants to be an employer of choice, and that's exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, we've had, I mean, Paddy's a perfect example. We've had Paddy choose our club, be it a different circumstances, choose our club as a likely opportunity for him to go and play because of those things you said. Adelaide Oval, if anyone hasn't been to Adelaide Victoria, go to Adelaide Oval and enjoy an amazing day at the football. You know, both sides, I mean, both teams there just do a great job, and you know, it's an exciting place. As you say, we're a young side, we're getting better, we've hopefully got lots of things to challenge for. We're a point that clubs would look at, or players would look at and say, yeah, Port Adelaide is a real chance. That wasn't always the case, but you know, but I think free agency's a little bit more, it's supposed to be about player choice and, you know, where they get the opportunity to play their game. And I'm not sure, our game's always been pretty strong on sticking close and loyal to your football club. I think the franchise clubs have opened up a little bit because of what they've been able to do, you know, and Gary going up there and Buddy going up to Sydney, those sort of clubs who are doing it for other reasons. I think, you know, they're always going to have those challenges, but more often than not, I don't think you're going to get too many people move.
Illicit drugs is in vogue over the weekend because of what's happened in other codes, and fair to say that one of the individuals was involved in the AFL. Andy and I had an interesting debate about the issues surrounding that. Have we got our head in the sand to think that, that firstly, this is not going on, and secondly, that the systems and the protocols are in place right now with the AFL are appropriate?
Well, first part, we've got a head in the sand if we think it's not going on. I think that's an absolute, you know, given. You know, the system that we work in the AFL, I think, is pretty strong. It's pretty, I think it's pretty supportive of the player. I think that's really important, and you've got to make sure that we give them opportunities to, one, get better if that's an issue that they're faced with. From our point of view, I think from a football club point of view, we'd love to be able to say it's not an issue, it's not a problem in any part of AFL football. Again, that's ignorant, I think, and you know, we've just got to accept that it is. But we're working towards making sure that as AFL footballers, we should be prepared to stand up and say it doesn't cut it in our game.
The clubs have the right to know sooner than they do, perhaps, that if they've got a player on their books who is having some issues.
From my selfish point of view, I'd like to be able to know. I'm not sure I'd be able, if I'm qualified to help in that space at all, but I'd like to be able to know, because I think that's one of the key jobs as a coach, is that you have to support your team and you support your players, whether it be good or bad. And you have to be able to work with them to help them get better in not just their football. I think it's important that we give them a whole life experience as best we possibly can.
Well, Gazy and I had this debate over Brekkie yesterday. It wasn't part of the show, but my argument is that the clubs care more about the welfare of the individual player than the AFL does. I mean, the AFL has got everybody to look after. You've invested so much in the individuals that are on your list that you care actually more about that. You know that individual more than anyone at AFL House does.
No one cares more about my players than me. Mm-hmm. I don't care what they say. I mean, I spend my whole week, every hour of the day thinking about my players and how I can help them get better, not just in football sense. So I think it's the whole club's the same. Keith, David, everyone at our football club, right through, want to make sure that the welfare of our players is the most important thing to us. We want the player to have a successful time at Port Adelaide. We want them to come out good people. So you can't say that we're not invested in our players, because for me, I've got three kids. They're an extension of my family. That's what they are, and that's what they should be.
And quickly, before we let you go as well, you've been very generous with your time, but Vossi, How's he going? Are the boys going to be out there talking? Is he teaching them a little bit about the sledging that goes on? Because he is very renowned for that.
I think he'll bring a fair bit of physical intimidation to our team. And that's one thing that we look forward to with Michael. In my time, I think he goes down as good a captain as there was. And, you know, the way, obviously, his record's sensational. But for the boys, he just still has a presence. He walks in and they you know, young players of today go, Michael Voss, yeah, we still know who you are. Whereas some of us older blokes walk in, they've got no idea who we are.
Yeah, they're going to like to look at you well, right now. That's the How point sharp is he looking?
You've clearly dropped some kgs. You've been doing a bit of this stuff with Berger. I reckon Vossie could do with a bit of whatever Ken's on at the moment. Because he was just starting to chunk it up a little bit.
Chunk's a bit harsh.
He was starting to get a little bit pudgy. It's
very hard right now. This is a new look.
Be careful because he has been very creepy with men who have been coming in this studio of late.
I can admire.
Far too tactile.
I can admire the effort that individuals go to keep themselves in that pristine condition, Andy.
We have to let you go.
Thanks, boys.
It's a joy watching you play your footy. Good luck for 15 and beyond. We can't wait to see what happens.
Thanks for having us.
Ken Hinckley, coach of the Port Adelaide Footy Club. You can become an interstate member, and why the hell wouldn't you? For $125 for the power at portadelaidefc.com.au. It's